Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 3 of the Withered Hands podcast. We're doing quite well. 3 episodes in, you know, got a nice response thus far. Not a huge response, but it's nice, you know, better than no response whatsoever. Got some new ads to the show, new likes to the page, I should say. Well, today we're going to do something different. I've been plugging it both on the Facebook page and on the last episode. We're going to be interviewing the band Swords of Dis. Now, they were really good. They were great to talk to, and I think people are going to enjoy the interview. We'll kind of get to know a bit about them, a bit about what they're all about. There's no Liz this week, which kind of sucks. Hopefully she'll be back next week for the next episode of With the Hands. I really enjoyed having her on the show last week. It was better to have someone to feed off of, if you know what I mean. It's good, you know, talking, but it's hard when you're on your own sometimes. So, you know, what can I say? Although I can, you know, I can blabber for the best of us. Going to throw in some tracks in between the interview because there were some technical issues, so I've had to try and fix them up. So if you're listening and think, hang on, that doesn't go there, don't worry. I've tried the best I can with what I had. But on the whole, I think it's a great interview, and I think it speaks well of them. I think they're two people which are great, Alice and Richard, both really easy to talk to. We had a good time, I felt, and yeah, hopefully I'll be able to interview them again. Quick note, during the interview, I mentioned a gig called the Unholy Alliance. That isn't the gig I was on about. I was on about the Unholy Trinity tour. The Unholy Alliance tour is, I think it's like Lamb of God, Machine Head, and bands like that. I meant the Unholy Alliance tour, which is bands like, well, it was My Dying Bride, Anathema, and who else was it? Oh, and Paradise Lost, of course. How silly of me, because that's what we're talking about. But yeah. It's I just wanted to clear it up because I sound like a bit idiot when I re-listen to it. But yeah, it is the Unholy Trinity tour, and that was in 2008. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking now. Going to play the interview. I hope you all enjoy it. This is Swords of Dis being interviewed by moi, and I'll catch you after it. As I said, there'll be a few tracks in between the interview, so give you a taste of what Swords of Dis are all about. As I said before, if you like the stuff you hear, go buy it, you know, do it through eBay, do it through the band pages, you know, check them out on their Facebook page, Facebook Swords of Dis, or you can email them at swords_of_dis_live. They explain in the interview anyway, so jot the email down, let them know, give me your address, you know, buy an album, it's really worth it. Anyway, I'm going to shut up now, and here's the interview.
Hey Tom, it's Rich and Alice from Swords of Dis.
Hey guys, how are you?
We're both doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. I apologise, you caught me while I'm having a cigarette.
That's okay.
It took me a bit while to answer, so I was like, should I answer with the cigarette, should I not? I don't know. So you're all relaxed, you're ready to do this?
Yeah, ready to do it whenever you are.
Let us know when you want to start and we'll, you know, get to it.
Alright, cool. Let me just get my little questionnaire up, as I was going to say. Alright, first of all, so Richard, Alice, okay, cool. How did you two meet? Like, how did this all come about? Tell me the past before Swords of Dis. Tell me about you.
We met through kind of studies. We were both at college.
Okay.
And started talking and we became friends and we realised that we had an awful lot in common.
Cool.
Not just like music and stuff like that, was it?
No, like everything, just general interests and everything like that. I think it was back in about 2006.
Yeah.
That was quite a while ago then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you had like the general interests and stuff. So how long did it take before, I mean, were either of you musicians at the time? I mean, Alice, you sing, and Richard, you play the instruments, other than, is it your brother, Alice, that helped out as well?
Yeah, it's Jonathan from Ayatom, he's my brother.
Yeah, cool. So I got the message the other day via eBay saying that he's on bass duties at the moment. I mean, does he do anything else on the CD?
Well, he did play guitar for us on the actual release.
Yeah,
on Tides of Malediction.
Oh, he, cool. Sessioned all the guitars and second guitars and
yeah.
he did a guest solo on Fane of the Lost.
Oh yeah, that's the one at the end, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's quite you can tell there's a difference. It's weird, like there was a different style when that solo came in the song, because I thought because there was a pace to the song, then that solo kicked in. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it didn't fit, because it fitted perfectly. But, like, the solo came in and was like, ah, this must be the special guy that's done it. So,
Yeah, the guest solo, yeah.
No, I like the fact that it had kind of, like, his kind of feeling. You could really tell his guitar style, because I think it really added another dimension to the record.
Does he play like that on his other band, like the band he plays in? Is it like that?
I wouldn't say so, no. Not really.
No, it's kind of interesting because although it's his style, it was different. I don't know whether it's just because like we wrote the guitars and they're not in his kind of style of writing, so he kind of.
Yeah, he did write the solo himself though.
Oh, brilliant! Nice. Okay.
But I think he more wanted to get into the feeling of what Swords of Dis was about more than what, say, Ayatom is about.
Yeah, no.
It's got a very different kind of vibe to it than what we're kind of doing with ours.
Yeah, I noticed, like, from the cover, because from the eBay, when I bought the Swords of Dis CD,
yeah.
Like, their cover's quite different. I mean, I haven't, like, delved into it, but it looks like a tree or something.
Yeah, it's like the Tree of Life, yeah.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. I must say, before we go anywhere, I love the... I know I've said this before to Richard or who's ever been emailing me or messaging me on eBay that the logo is fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really am into it and it does catch a lot of attention down here because, like, although I don't really live in, like, a metal community or anything like that, people are like, all right, what's that then? Looks like some snakes. What's that say in between? And then they ask questions and I explain, you know, it's a band, don't they? I mean, like, my friends and that were all well into music, like, my partner, like, oh, she's got a big group of people and they're always asking questions and she's got a friend who's also in the music industry and he knows other bands and it's good because I was explaining like it will get you known to them. Is that your own style? Are you trying to be sounds a bit of a crappy question, ignore that.
I know what you mean. It's very much my own kind of style, I'd say.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm ever influenced by anybody else. I just wanted to kind of sing from the heart, really, and like the soul.
Yeah, you can tell that. You can. And it doesn't... I mean, did it take a lot of takes to get into to do it? To, like, get exactly what you needed? Or did you feel it flowed really easy?
No, it kind of flowed really easy, really. It was very different from practicing to going to the recording studio because, obviously... It's just it's different kind of atmosphere and everything like that. But
yeah.
It really did kind of flow because I think with the way I kind of perform it,
yeah,
I focus more. Being the lyrics mean quite a lot to me.
Yeah.
And I wrote them. I could kind of connect more with that and just go with it. I never really thought of an artist or anything like that to try and kind of like try and copy or imitate. I didn't even really think about the technique or anything like that. I just wanted to get my point across through the music and it just came out the way it did.
Yeah, no, you should be really proud about what you've done.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, I'm speaking from myself. I love both sides, you know.
Thank you.
That's okay. That was it. Did the music, was all the music done before the vocals were added? I mean, did you record everything then, okay, all right, now Alice, do your vocals or... Like, Richard, did you, like, say, OK, I've seen these lyrics, what can I work around these, or what?
The lyrics are usually penned before we pen the music.
OK.
So we usually, I've got the lyrics already there, and when I write the lyrics, I come up with melodies and things, and I record them straight onto the computer in, like...
We use Logic, and I've got mics.
Oh,
and,
cool, OK.
Yeah, we record it straight into Logic, and she'll sing a melody with the lyrics that she's got, and then I can create all the musical instrumentation around it as a kind of draft before we work together and bounce ideas off each other in that sense.
No, you go ahead. Carry on.
Apart from Grace in the Palace of Forgotten Words, that was the guitars we wrote before the lyrics came into that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes like I'll have an idea for a song and I'll go to her with it, and she'll try and like create lyrics and vocal melodies around that, and that's kind of how that song came about, really.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Yeah, I read somewhere. I was scrolling through trying to get some, you know, information, because I didn't want to come onto this and be like, all right, so sort of this. I know nothing about you, but I'm just going to pretend I know what I mean. I was reading, like, there was like a blog, some metal blog, and they were saying that you did like a demo or an EP or something, but you never released it.
Yeah, that is true.
Why was that?
Well, the EP, it was before we actually became Swords of Dis.
Okay.
It was actually for a university project for Richard to begin with.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And we'd already got bits and pieces down with guitars and things, and we'd wrote them a long time ago. And then it evolved into the EP that it was.
So is that EP still in existence somewhere? Like, I mean...
Yeah.
Do you think you might ever redo those and kind of add them onto another release or something?
I can't really see us releasing the material just yet. As for now, the next album is kind of like taking precedence.
Oh, okay, brilliant. How's that coming along? Have you started it, or is it just all ideas at the moment?
No, it is started.
It's started, yeah. It's in its early stages, but it's coming along.
Now, I don't mean to interrupt you. I feel really bad.
Don't worry.
Like with I feel like a bit of a piss taker, because like with the Swords of Dis, I paid under what it was actually. I paid the £3 rather than the £4, and I feel like a bit of a dickhead for that, because it's such a good CD. Now with the next CD, are you going to release it, like, because I think it's worth a lot more than what you sell it for, especially with the shirt as well. So, I mean, when it came to me, I didn't expect the packaging to be as nice as it was, because I thought, oh, you know, underground band, you know, because like with my own project, my CD that came, it looks like a piece of shit. And it's like, all right, okay, you can tell that this is an underground band, hasn't got fuck all money, so we'll put that to the side. But your one, it looks like you've known what you've done, you've thought about it. Again, I'll go on about the artwork, even the pictures in it. Like, I mean, where did you, like, not so much the drawings and stuff, but the pictures of both of you, like, where were they taken?
Well, we went to, I'm in Hull, I'm forgetting the place now.
We went down south to a castle called Old Wardour Castle.
That's it.
And it wasn't really anyone there, and so we'd already visited it once before, and it just emanated this kind of.
It kind of, to me, it looked like the doorway that we had in the artwork.
Yeah.
It kind of looked like the place that I'd kind of like been thinking about whilst I was writing.
Okay.
And so for me to kind of enter that place, it was just kind of like a magical moment, if you don't mind me saying.
No, it sounds it. It sounds like it was meant to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like that. And so we just took a few photographs and popped them in the album because they worked so well with it.
I agree. I think they work well. I mean, even like the black and white colour scheme, it all works really well. And like, the inner sleeve, like when you've got the logo, I mean, is that a picture of the sky or something?
Yeah, like, it is kind of like the sky, and it's all kind of like trying to tie in with the artwork, the lyrics, everything kind of like ties in together.
It's all one kind of entity.
Yeah, I think when we were speaking to you through the messages, and you said it was like a puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of like what I wanted to kind of let other people feel. I wanted them to kind of like try and put the pieces of the puzzle together themselves.
I think you've got the theme down perfectly. I think, like,
thank you.
Sometimes, like, I've got an album by a band called Death Heaven. I don't know if you know them. And like, this album's called Sunbather, and it's a pink CD, and it just says Sunbather on it. And then you listen to it, and it's nothing like you expect it to be. Whereas what I've got here, I just need to point out, it says IV00001. Does that mean I've got the first pressing or something?
No, that means it's the first release on Insidious Voices.
Oh, okay, I feel a bit disappointed now.
We can sort you one out.
Nice. sorry, I've got it in front of me again. I'm just, like, looking at it myself.
Thank you.
It's all right. All right, let's go back to my questions. Yeah, before I start going on about music, Swords of Dis, tell me, like, so what, like, music-wise, like, what bands have influenced you? Or do you feel like, no one's influenced me, this is my own style? Or, you know, because I was listening to it this morning, and I didn't notice it before, but there's some odd black metal elements going on. And, and I don't know, but it's slower than black metal. And I was listening, I was like, oh, okay. And my, at the moment, my favourite piece on the whole CD is the opening, sorry, that sounds really bad. I love the whole CD. I don't mean the rest of it.
No. I always have my favourite songs off people's CDs.
Oh, yeah, okay. I love the beginning, the clean guitar, like, that's being played.
Yeah.
I play that a lot. Like, I have, it's like I'll go to a point and it's like, let's loop that. And it sounds really nice. And, yeah, I really like that. And but, like, for you, like, so what bands have influenced you to do what you've done?
Well, I wouldn't really say that anyone's really influenced us. But I have been, I've always kind of, like, loved music.
Yeah.
From a young age, and I was brought up listening to metal.
Nice.
So, but I think it'd be difficult for me to say that anyone in particular has kind of like influenced the music that we've got today. But, I mean, I like bands like Catatonia, Behemoth.
Yeah, I was listening to Catatonia on the train over, funny enough, yeah. Behemoth, yeah, I haven't really explored Behemoth, but maybe I need to get more into them.
They're brilliant. I think The Apostasy is probably the one to check out.
Okay, I'll check that out.
I don't really think I'd take an influence, but I think it's more emotions.
Yeah, I get that in, like, especially like with the vocals as well. Like, you, it doesn't sound like, oh, I'm just reading words. It sounds like I'm telling you a story.
Yeah.
I mean that kind of ties into how we go about like writing the music side of it as well. You know, I'll read through the lyrics that she's got, and I'll try and kind of create the atmosphere that it, how it makes me feel. Do you know what I mean? And how I want, kind of, how we want the kind of audience to feel in that sense.
How do you want the audience to feel? I mean, how do you want people to perceive sort of this?
I think that's down to every listener's kind of interpretation, really.
Yeah.
I think some people, obviously just... that some people won't get it, and I don't think a lot of people, as in some of the reviews, they won't get it.
Not I found that, yeah, I didn't really get it. Like, a lot, from some I read, they said that the music didn't suit the vocals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And on my last podcast, I kind of, I don't know if you heard it, but I said that sort of this was kind of like, when I first heard it, I knew I liked it, but I didn't know why. And it was like a picture in the distance, and you know you like this picture, and you're like, hang on. You get closer to the picture, and all of a sudden it starts making sense, and everything all comes together. Now I'm at the point where it's all come together now, and I kiss your ass as much as I can. But it's like, you know, I get it. But I read from them, and I think some people just listen to it, and it's like, oh yeah, this isn't what I think is good. And, but yet, you have to respect their personal opinion. But it's some people can just be arseholes. They don't really take into account, like, all right, this is what it's meant to be like. Don't tell me how you think it's meant to be, you know? It's but then it's like bands like My Dying Bride, like, with their 34 blah, 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 percent, that album. They got slated so bad for it. But, I mean, I don't hate the album, but they were just trying to sound different. Although, I think they were all mega on drugs at the time. But
I think it's if you do something different, if you do something radical, or something just slightly away from...
mainstream.
The kind of mainstream...
But you need to do that, because you look at everything has been done, you know, like music wise there is nothing that anyone could do that someone else hasn't done, but it's all about but you need to enjoy what you're doing, and you need to be like, all right, it's been done, but this is my take on what's been done. And I think you've got the core, you know, I think you've done that. But again, like I said, I'm biased, but you know.
No, but I mean, you're not in a way, because you went and you found it yourself. And so if you found something within it, it's because you've actually listened to the piece.
Yeah.
You gave it that listen. You know, I think that's what people need to do with it. They need to sit and they need to give it a listen.
Are there any, like, because other than your Facebook page, which you're having issues with, and, like, the YouTube, like, you have, like, the videos up there, like, a few of the songs that you're doing.
Uh-huh.
I think it's great that you haven't put it all out there. Like I said in my last one, that was my mistake. I've kind of given everyone everything at once.
But, well, yeah, we did. In the beginning, when we first released Tides of Malediction, we put it straight up onto Bandcamp.
I wanted to know about the name, the Swords of Dis name.
Wow.
Well, I mean, the name Swords of Dis is taken from the city containing the fifth circle that encompasses the six through nine circles of Inferno. Nice. In Dante Alighieri's The Divine Comedy.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So have you both read that book then? Did you both come to an agreement? Sorry, it's a poem, isn't it, they say?
Yeah, it's a poem, yeah.
Did you both come to the thing of like, oh, we connect on that name, you know? So did you feel like that encompassed what you would be about? Or did you just think, oh, it's a cool name, we'll use that?
No, I thought both of us agreed that it kind of like encompassed what we were about.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that we particularly spoke about, like, in depth, but it just came to us, like, quite naturally.
Okay. It's kind of like a fitting title for our music, because it's, like, kind of imagery and description kind of mirrored the dark atmosphere we kind of wanted to achieve.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, that whole poem freaks me out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember back in the day when I read it, I always felt like I was really intellectual for reading it.
Yeah.
But I always had it on. I don't know if you know the band Dark Space, but I had them playing whilst I was listening to it. They're like they're like a black metal-y band, and they're creepy, and I thought it encompassed it all. And I was like, yeah, I'm really good, I'm doing this. But no, when I kindly clicked, I didn't click. I read it again that you had done that. And I thought, oh, wow, awesome. You know, that actually makes sense.
But,
okay, where are we? All right. Question, what does Tides of Malediction mean to you personally, like both of you? I mean, are you really pleased with how it came out? Could it have been better? No.
Well, I think, like, with any record that people, like, create themselves, it kind of, like, becomes your baby, and it obviously means a lot to me personally.
Yeah.
I think, as I've said, like, I connect with the lyrics quite a lot, because they mean a awful lot to me.
So are they like personal ones too, like from personal experience, or are they just things that you think about or that have happened to other people? I mean, don't go into it too deep, I don't need to know all that, but like for you, do they, well, obviously they're personal to you, but like have you drawn them from personal experiences or?
It's bits and pieces. Some of them I'm kind of like putting myself into them, kind of like how I'd say it would be a more kind of like divine kind of mindset of somebody speaking, like
kind of like a divine channeling kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And some of it is personal experiences, and it's a mixture of everything really. It's just raw kind of emotion.
Carry on.
It's just kind of like flows really. Like sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'll have loads and loads and loads of lyrics, and I just have to write them all down and record the melodies.
Do you have like a notepad that's full of words? Like,
yeah. I have the computer right next to my bed just in case I wake up.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so you do it on the computer. I have like loads of these little black notebooks that I just take, that I used to take to work with me and stuff, and I'd always be writing when I was meant to be doing my job.
I've got plenty of those as well.
Oh, cool, yeah.
I've got plenty of those. I have one in the car, I have one by my bed. I've got loads.
So are you the only one that does the lyrics? Does Richard just do the music? Do you both of you mix in?
For this album and the next album, I've done the lyrics. And Richard kind of like concentrates on the like musical kind of side of things with the guitars and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, the music is quite a collaborative effort, because obviously she has her vocal melodies with her songs, and I put the music to that. So in that sense, it's kind of collaborative, and obviously we'll work on all the guitars and the riffs and how we want everything to sound together.
Okay. Were there any tracks that you did for the previous album, well, the one that I've got, that didn't make it? Like, did you demo any of them, like, that's just not good enough, or it doesn't fit the flow?
We had a particular problem with one song, but it's going to be on the next album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you more about that at the time when the next CD is released.
That's fair enough. Yeah, no, keep your secrets. Keep people interested. I agree. I understand. Something I need to learn.
But we have So we did have a lot of problem with that. We had a whole file on the computer and it completely destroyed itself. It was written completely, all the vocal melodies done.
Yeah.
It destroyed itself on the day before we were going to be doing the recording.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I think songs have their kind of a mind of their own and the way they develop, it's... Yeah, they do what they want sometimes, I think.
Yeah, no, you're right, they
do. Yeah, so that one just didn't want to go on the album at all. I don't think it wanted to be on that album.
It felt like it was... It's too early to show me off. Show me a different time, you know.
No, I was really upset when it happened. I was thinking, like, I can't believe it, because it literally gone. We didn't even have it on, like, saved anywhere. Or...
Yeah, we had it on nothing else but this...
There was no backups or anything.
No.
So have you redone... Well, I won't go into more about the new stuff, but with that particular track, have you just redone it all from memory then, or what?
We've redone it from memory, but we've added a new twist to it so it fits the kind of concept of the new album.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, that sounds interesting.
To be fair to the song, it actually does sound better than it did before.
Oh, okay. Well, then it sounds like it was meant to happen.
It was definitely meant to happen, yeah.
I think the song knew that, though.
Yeah, the song. Well, they do have a life of their own, you know.
So. Yeah.
Okay, I read also, like, were you ever, like, because you saw, Alice, you got your brother in the band, and, well, as, like, a session-y person, and there's two of you. Will you ever consider, like, trying to do live anything? Anything, like, in front of people?
We definitely do want to do live.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I come from kind of like a performance background. That was what I was studying, was performance.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
So for me to be back on stage would be just great, because that's how I feel the music should be played on stage.
Yeah, I totally agree, yeah.
It should create the atmosphere. I think that's how we will be viewed best.
How many members do you think you'll need to get that atmosphere going? Because there's quite a lot that goes on in, like, just any song. I mean, so...
We really just need a second guitarist and a drummer, really.
I mean, they're the kind of main ones. I mean, it would be great to have a keyboard player as well to do all the kind of orchestral patterns that are underneath the music. But, I mean, with technology today, I mean, you know, you can
to a certain degree get away with that, but we would really need three members, I should imagine. But we're looking into session musicians at the minute.
You were just saying that was about, like, with the technology and stuff. That was my pet peeve when I went to see Paradise Lost. They didn't have anyone doing the keyboards and stuff. I always thought, I really want them to mess up, because I want the backing track to stop randomly or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that obviously we would look to do. As a kind of first off, you know, that's not something we would...
It
wouldn't be the ideal, no, but, I mean, it's kind of like if you don't have another choice. Do you understand?
Yeah,
what I mean?
No, I do. I totally get where you're coming from. No, I do.
But I'd ideally probably like to get some session musicians in so we can take the material on the road.
Yeah.
Have you not got any, like, buddies that are any good on the instruments that felt like they should come into it, or... You know,
most of the people we know have already got, like, commitments and things, and the drums are pretty intense on the record, so it's going to be quite hard work.
Who does the drums on this record? Is that you, Richard?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Sorry to go a bit of a segue here, but, like, when did you? Are you just a multi-instrumentalist or something?
Well, I mean, my first instrument when it was guitar, when I started playing when I was about 14 years old.
Yeah,
and then I sold my guitar shortly after that, and bought a drum kit, and I played drums for 5 or 6 years until I eventually picked the guitar back up again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So those two are kind of like your main instruments. Do you play anything else other than that? Did you do the keyboards for the album?
The actual stuff on the actual album that you hear is programmed.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. What you can actually hear is programmed, because we couldn't get anybody to come in and do it within the time frame we've got.
Okay, that seems fair.
What I'd like to get it out live, and with the next record, it won't be programmed drums.
Okay, yeah. I've got a friend in a band called Till Thy Dying Day, and that's all programmed drums.
Yeah.
And,
I think it's got its pros and it's got its cons. I mean, for the time frame we had for recording, there's no way that Rich could have done them himself for the time frame we'd booked.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
but we mapped, because of obviously my previous experience as a drummer.
Yeah.
We sat down and mapped out all the drums and all the orchestral instruments to go with the album.
Nice. Okay. So with like the recording process, like you did it in a studio. I mean, was it a good studio you recorded in, or?
Yeah, like, very very good. Yeah.
Was it one that was close to home?
Yeah, very close to home, really. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Like, because like that's like a main problem that I have down here with like. Because studios, like, with the finances and stuff, I mean, did you... Because they do deals, don't they? I mean, I'm not asking what you paid, but, like, yeah. Did you get a good deal for the time you had?
Yeah, we did, really, yeah. We got a very good deal. I mean, it's always expensive to go in the studio, and, you know, when you haven't got a big label backing or...
Yeah.
Or anybody kind of, like, helping you out, because it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's tough with the finances, but I think it all came together quite well.
Yeah, it was a good experience in the studio, you know, to be honest.
It was a positive experience then.
Yeah, yeah. Very positive, yeah.
Oh, that's always good to hear, yeah.
Yeah, we never had any arguments or anything like that.
No throwing chairs about or anything, or destroying musical equipment. No.
Well, that's odd to hear. Okay. Are you normal band people? What's going on here?
Maybe with the next one.
Maybe. Yeah. All right, you were talking about record label. Tell me about your record label, the Insidious Voices one. Let me know how did that come about?
Well, I mean, Insidious Voices was something that we... created by ourselves that we could release our music on.
Oh yeah.
So because I mean we wanted to have like complete artistic freedom with it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, with the first release, and I mean also having the band Atom signed to it as well. I mean we handle all the promotion and distribution for that. I mean it's a great way to be able to really engage with people that like your music as well. Because obviously if you're on a bigger label, you're not as close as you would be.
No, that's, I mean...
In this kind of instance.
Yeah, will this be, like, sorry, that made no sense. Will this be, like, Insidious Voices, will you always have this label for, like, sort of this, what if someone came along that were, like, I don't know, like a random, I don't know, say Peaceville walked up to you and said, oh, we want to offer you a 10-album contract, would you take it, or would you be like, no, I'll stick with my own label?
It would literally depend on the contract. I mean, it would be nice to be able to get some kind of a bigger label backing.
Yeah, I mean,
because it'd mean that, you know, with regards to touring and things, maybe we could get some help with finding the session musicians, things like that.
And of course, record labels like that, they've got their own distribution links as well, and you know, we have to create those ourselves, whereas they've already got really well developed relationships and arrangements with their distributors as well.
But does it make it quite exciting doing it all yourself? Because like you know where things are going.
Yeah.
It must feel good.
It could be kind of like we could keep... It depends on the contract again, I guess, but I think we'd still be quite close to like, the music ourselves. I'd always want the kind of freedom to be able to talk to people about it, and I can't imagine ever being disconnected from what I do.
No.
So...
You know, whatever we would decide to do, we're always going to maintain a really good relationship with our fans and anyone that likes our music. If people want to contact us, then they can feel free to do so. Do you know what I mean? You'll always get a reply.
Yeah, well, I know that through experience. Are there any other ways? I mean, for the people that actually do listen to this, I mean, what are the best ways to contact you? Because I've only been able to contact you through eBay, which is a bit random.
Yeah, that's you know that's. Well, we are kind of like in the process of developing a website for Swords of Dis.
Okay, cool.
So that's going to be up and running. Mm. And
I mean, that will have all kind of easier ways to contact us. I mean, email would probably be the easiest way.
Yeah, we do have emails and all that kind of stuff. But with Facebook, it seems to be the main way that a lot of bands are kind of like communicating now. And
Well, Facebook's like the new MySpace, isn't it? Like, character bands are on that now. Although, and then MySpace are trying to come back, aren't they?
So yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So I know the band are on Facebook because I liked you as soon as I thought I had, and then I got a message saying like us in response, and I was like, I thought I had, you know. But
I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on. We'll have to find out.
Do either of you use Facebook personally? I mean, does that work for you when you're doing it on a personal level, and it's you just have issues with the band, or what's happening?
No, the band website, the band page for Facebook is actually working a lot better than the actual
personal ones.
Oh, okay. And,
but with it, you have to kind of like use the personal ones to kind of gain access to a lot of things with the band one.
So it's causing
a lot of problems for us at the minute, but we'll look into it and we'll get it sorted out.
As for email, I mean, do you have a collective email address that people can contact you by?
Yeah, we do.
Do you want to say it? Do you want to plug
it?
Yes. Yeah, it's swords_of_dis@live.com.
Nice. So kind of like what you did here with the Skype thing then?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Ah, cool. Okay. What was I going to say? Yeah, like I was saying about earlier about the like getting a live band together, if that ever happens, because you were saying you really want to be able to get on stage and, you know, you feel that's where it's meant to be. I mean, is there anywhere you'd ever, that you really want to play? Is it in England or actually, quick different question. Where are you based? Where's all this based?
We're based in Birmingham at the moment, Birmingham, England.
Awesome. How's the scene up there? I know it's famous, like, for some of the bands that have come out of Birmingham, but, like, how is it nowadays?
It's really kind of diverse, to be honest. You got loads of different kind of lit styles of metal coming out of Birmingham, and it's going quite strong, to be fair to it.
Nice.
There's a lot of bands doing really quite well for themselves, and it's just really quite diverse. Like Richard just said, it's lots of different types of metal. Something for everybody, I think, is coming out of Birmingham.
What sort of gigs do you two go to? I mean, do you go to gigs together? Or do you go to separate gigs? Do you like different bands? I mean, what was the last gig either of you went to?
Well, I went to the Paradise Lost 25th anniversary with Richard.
Yeah.
With Lacuna Coil and Catatonia.
I was meant to go to that, and that kind of didn't happen. I was quite bummed about that.
No, it was amazing. All three acts were amazing.
See, I'm not a fan of Lacuna Coil. That's what kind of put me off. But I love Catatonia and I love Paradise Lost. But you say all three bands were amazing?
All three were really, really amazing, yeah.
Have you heard... Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. I feel really bad when I do that.
Oh, don't worry. I don't even know you're interrupting me.
Oh, okay, I'll carry on doing it then. No. I'm going to see Catatonia in May. They're doing like an unplugged show. Have you read anything about that?
Yeah, I heard of that. Yeah, I've heard of that.
Do you reckon that's going to go well or not?
I think with Catatonia, they're such a strong act. The atmosphere is, you could literally cut it with a knife.
It's
absolutely amazing. I mean, Jonas's voice live is exceptional.
It's immense. It's even better than you hear on the record, which is it's interesting.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I've been lucky. I've seen them twice, and I'm lucky to do that. And I agree, the voice. And it's Anders, isn't it? That Black Heem.
Yeah.
He always reminds me of someone who's come out of the '70s. It's like he's playing all this music, and it's like, should you be doing it? You know, but they're playing away, but one of the best live bands ever, and they always blow the other bands out of the water, I find.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about going to see Paradise Lost with Catatonia supporting them was that Catatonia played like the entire Viva Emptiness album because it was their kind of anniversary of their album.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of a really, really good, interesting experience.
So from that gig, I mean, did you walk away thinking, I know you said all three bands were amazing, but what highlight did you have from that?
Well, I am a massive Catatonia fan.
Yeah.
So I do, and Viva Emptiness is my favourite.
Awesome.
So to see that really kind of just left me, like, speechless, really.
Were you close? Did you get quite close to the stage?
We were right at the front,
right at the front of the gig,
so I was really, really glad about that, yeah.
Oh, nice. I remember I went to... sorry, I'm babbling on. I will come back to Swords of Dis in a minute. I went to the Unholy Alliance tour? It was in 2008.
Unholy Alliance, yeah.
Yeah, I went to that, and I remember I was with my ex-wife, and we were right at the front, and by like the time Paradise Lost came on, we were like 6 or 7 rows back, and I don't know how it happened.
Yeah, that happened with us. I must admit, by the time Paradise Lost came on, we were right at the back. We started at the front and ended up at the back.
I suppose in a way it's easier because when you want to leave, you want to like get your train. I mean, did you stay in London for it or like?
No, we it was Wolverhampton when we saw it.
Oh, that one, yeah. Sorry, I'm focusing on the London one, aren't I? Because I'm down here.
It was quite easy for us just to drive down the motorway to get there and back, really.
Oh, that's so. You have quite. I mean, is that like your closest biggest venue, or do you have quite a lot of venues that?
Well, we have the
we've got the Academy,
O2 Academy
in Birmingham, but not many bands generally stop there. They usually go to the Wolf Room because it's a bigger stage.
Okay. Holds.
So I'd probably say that was the bigger out of the two, really.
There's a venue in London called the Underworld. I don't know if
the
you've
Underworld,
ever heard of it.
Yeah.
It's my favourite venue of all time. And
it's amazing.
Have you seen bands in there?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going back quite a while now. I saw Marduk play there.
Oh, you mad? Oh, Jesus, that must have been quite insane. A small venue with Marduk. The guy's violent as anything, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it was the first tour from it was the first tour with their new singer Mortis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so how was that? Was that worth the drive?
It was intense. It really was intense. An incredible gig. It was the first time I've seen him play as well, so that was just a whole different experience, and it's such a good venue as well to play.
Oh yeah, god yeah. So is that where the black metal comes in? Because you're a fan of Marduk. Is that where like your influences? I know you were saying earlier you don't really feel like a lot of influences, but like you like Marduk. I mean, do you like other black metal? And does that come into with your writing process? You think?
I wouldn't, like Alice was saying, I wouldn't necessarily say that any bands influence us directly in the sense of the music. It's more about creating emotions through the music and the vocal melodies. But obviously, you know, the music that you listen to will have an unconscious effect on you.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Well, that's what music's supposed to do, isn't it? I mean, if you listen to drum and bass, you're not going to get a connection to it, are you? But if you're listening to heavy metal, a lot of music, you're gonna feel something, whether it's happy, sad, or whatever. I mean, something you listen to may make you want to cry, and someone else makes them want to smile. You know, it's kind of like that. But like, I agree, we've sorted this. It sounds pretty weird, but I don't know. Like when I first said, "Oh, they remind me of Serpent Cult," and I keep saying to my partner, "Why the hell did I say that? They don't sound a thing like them." And then on my last podcast, I said, they kind of sound like they're a bit occultish, but I don't want to say that unless, because they're probably not. They're really nice people. They're not part of a cult. So it's like, because you've got bands like Blood Ceremony and things like that. I kind of got a connection with that. And, you know, I didn't want to offend anyone when I was saying it, but I thought, you know, the music's coming along. And, but I mean, with this Pigeonhole, like on this certain page, they were saying, I used it for my plug for this interview, like avant-garde extreme metal. What do you feel about that? Is that what Swords of This are, or is that just something someone's put down?
Well, when we first kind of like started out, we kind of tagged ourselves as avant-garde extreme metal, because that was like how we kind of like tagged ourselves. So we thought that it was like about as fitting as it was really going to kind of get.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we can be kind of like tagged with a genre or anything like that, but I think people kind of need a genre, because then they can, that's how people find the bands that they like. I mean, if we called ourselves pop, then I think pop fans would be in with quite a shock.
Yeah,
so, they'd be like, what's going on here, you know?
Yeah, so you kind of like need something.
Yeah, I mean, I think people rely on kind of genre classification in a sense to, like Alice said, to find bands of the kind of music style that they like to listen to. And I guess that kind of, that term that we use, like avant-garde extreme metal, was kind of the closest thing we could really get to kind of classifying our own music, which is, I mean, it's kind of not an easy thing to define really as any kind of one particular genre. which is kind of why we called it avant-garde.
What is avant-garde? Please explain.
It basically means unusual, really.
Okay.
I mean, I think that is kind of like our music. It is unusual. It's kind of like a mix of genres, really.
Yeah, there's quite a few, like, you know, toys in the bag there.
It's experimental, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just basically an unusual kind of thing. Would you agree, Rich?
Yeah, it's kind of like it means sort of like pushing the boundaries of what's like accepted as the norm or the status quo.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And I guess that's kind of why we kind of pen the kind of genre around that, because we couldn't really classify our music as any kind of one particular genre. It was kind of an amalgamation of all different types.
I think we thought when the album was released, people might develop their own kind of like genre classification for it.
Yeah.
Like we've had some people saying it's got doom elements and things like that.
I was about to ask that. Yeah.
Yeah. We've been called dark metal. We've been called doom, funeral doom.
You're not funeral doom.
No.
that's not a negative thing. I'm just saying.
No. Of course not. No.
But it's just been like, I don't think people can kind of like classify us as something at the minute. I don't know whether they need another release before we can be classified or.
Yeah.
Or what it is. I mean, we are new to the scene. So
it's exciting. Do you like being on the scene? Does it feel good to be out there?
It does feel good. It feels kind of scary sometimes. Because it's kind of like you realise that stuff that again means a lot to you is out there in like the public void kind of.
It's kind of putting a little piece of yourself into a kind of ether almost.
I was just thinking, like with like your album artwork, like you're out there now, like they can open up your booklet and they can see pictures of you with your names underneath. And it's like, that's pretty freaky. Like with mine, I work under the moniker Silencer because I don't want people knowing who I am. I mean, not personally. I want to keep my personal side away from it. And I mean, with you, like it's quite out there. I mean, you're not putting down, right, I live here, this is my phone number, don't get me wrong. But it's kind of like, I don't think you're at the point yet of where people are recognising you, but I mean, how is your? Have you had quite a lot of contact? Like, have people like said, "Oh, I've got the album, really love it," and have they spoke to you? Have you had a good feedback from members of the public, not the media, like other people?
Not really. We haven't really had anybody kind of like come up to us and say anything in particular, apart from like friends and things like that, who already kind of knew we were recording anyway and already know us.
Yeah.
But we've had nobody kind of like come up to us and say anything in particular who in person or anything like that.
Have you not had anything via the internet or anything?
We've had good comments via the internet and things like that, and people who said they've enjoyed the album and things like that.
Yeah.
Has the album sold well? Have you sold it well?
It's
steady. And
it's steady, yeah.
I mean, the media coverage has been largely very positive.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been in contact with quite a few people that like the record, and you know, they've kind of been really like look nice and honest in regards to it.
That's the best way. You need people to be honest, don't you? You can't have everyone kiss your ass because you start thinking you're better than you really are, do you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think part of me kind of like wishes that I'd kind of like and a different kind of name down or something that was just a bit kind of like more mysterious.
Like a pen name,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess it's out there now and there you go.
Your next album, you can just have a picture of you with like a black dot over it, changing your name.
Yeah.
It's not the same as before. No, the voice may sound the same, but it's not me.
Exactly.
Richard, do me a favour. What's your second name?
It's Corvinus.
Is that your real second name?
Yes.
That's an awesome second name.
Thank you.
Is it foreign or something or whatever? I really like it. I want to steal it.
I haven't really found anyone that's kind of got the same last name as me. I think there was a a Hungarian king that shares the same name, but I don't think we're related, to be honest.
You never checked, like, in your ancestry or saying some...
No.
I had to get that out there. I think your second name's awesome.
Thank you very much.
You could just have a band name just with that, you know, if you want to do a solo project, you know.
Yeah, it could be a solo project, yeah.
Okay. I've covered everything in my little list here. Is there anything you want to tell me? Or, you know...
Well, should we start interviewing you then?
You can interview me if you want. It might bore the hell out of you.
That'll be for another day.
That will be for now. Yeah, I think this has gone okay. This was my virgin interview, so you guys have deflowered me quite well.
Thank you. We're gentle.
Yes. How's this gone for you? Has this been okay?
This has been brilliant. Yeah, it's been absolutely awesome experience. Thank you very much for it.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us to do it.
I really appreciate you actually doing it, and I hope my follow-up interviews with the other people will go quite well.
Yes, good luck.
Anything to go with this one. I don't even know what I'm saying. To go by... Oh, fuck it. Ignore what I'm trying to say. Yeah. No. So you're okay with me putting this up on the podcast, yeah?
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Well, I will now let you enjoy your day. I know you've been... I don't know if you've both been at work. I know one of you's been at work.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
Yeah, and just... yeah, have a good day. And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to, like, listening to the new stuff. Did you get my message about the... Yeah, because with the Whispering Shadows stuff, like, if you want, yeah. I can send you off a CD of the new CD when I've done it. Because I feel really bad.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, okay, awesome. And I'm going to get my son to listen to the Swords of Dis soon, because he's the best approver.
how old is he?
My son's 8, and it's going to sound dodgy. Not dodgy, but my son's deaf, and but he hasn't always been deaf, and he grew up listening to Emperor, and I think that's what made him go deaf. So, but like with his hearing aids in, he has better hearing than me, and he'll often tell me if he likes what he's listening to or not. So, that like, I might do a rating system and like the Alex approval thing. Like, Swords of Dis got.
You've got to send it to us.
I will.
You've got to send it to us.
I will do that. Okay. I will let you guys go. And yeah, again, I really appreciate what you've done. This has been fantastic. And
yeah, it's been great talking to you.
It's been great talking to you. It's been really good to put a voice to some words on the net.
Yeah.
Just make sure you keep in touch.
I will do. I plan to. I plan to annoy you for many years to come.
Thank you. And we'll annoy you too.
I appreciate that. All right. You guys take care. Yeah. And have a great
day.
You. Yeah, and you.
All right. Take care. Bye.
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 So there you have it. That was my interview with Swords of Dis. Two great guys, you know, really. I don't know if I can say guys, you know, because Alice is definitely a girl, but two great people. It was great talking to them. The two tracks I played, the first one was called Even Angels Bleed. The second one, which was just played, was called Labyrinth. If you like what you heard, as I said, go out, buy the album, get in contact with them, do it for eBay. That's what I did. As I said, they've got a site coming up, so hopefully that'll come up soon. Really looking forward to the prospects if they do any live stuff. If they do, I really want them to come down here, like down south of England, so I can actually see them. But I understand finances and getting down here and lugging all the stuff. But hopefully, yeah, looks like some exciting things are going to happen in the Swords of Dis camp. Really looking forward to that new album. If it's anything like this one, then I'm going to be very pleased. And if it's nothing like this one, but still Swords of Dis, I'm still going to be pleased. So I'll definitely be buying that. Yeah, check out Swords of Dis. As I said, check out their, they've got a Bandcamp page. They've got a Facebook page, as they said, or email them on the email they said. And they are great with communication. Sometimes, you know, they take a couple of days, but that makes sense because they work, you know. They're real people who do real jobs, so that's understandable. You can't always expect a message straight back. But they've always been great, and they've always been long messages that have been really informal. So don't expect just a, oh, thanks, how you doing? They will give you a decent response. And both, as I said, both great people. Yeah, so as I said, hopefully Liz will be back on the show next week. Really missed her this week. Really wanted her to be there for the interview because I think her input would have been great. But hopefully she'll be there for forthcoming interviews. You know, we'll see. Hopefully I can get some more interviews down the line. I will try my best to be a bit more professional. I realised in that one that I swore a lot more than they did. I don't actually think they swore at all. So I kind of need to maybe tone down on my language, maybe seem a bit more professional, and apologise for starting the interview with a cigarette in my hand. That wasn't very good. But these are all things I learned by. They were great with me. They didn't let it be known if they were pissed off about that or not. So if they were, I do apologise to you. But you were great. Great interview, and I really appreciate the time you took to talk to me and to talk to my listeners. As for my listeners, thank you again for listening. If you like me, subscribe, download, do whatever it is the format is these days. Keep checking us out, you know. Hopefully I'll be able to do a show one a week. This one's a bit earlier than the last one, but that's because the last one was a bit later than it should have been. But I hope this can build into something a lot more, and we can get some more music out there for people to hear. And some more underground bands for people to really acknowledge and, you know, appreciate. Swords of Dis being one of those bands. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to say goodbye. And just a quick thing. It's been raining really bad down here. It was really sunny yesterday when I was actually interviewing the guys. And later on, as soon as we kind of stopped, it kind of really chucked it down. I don't know what the weather's like where you are, but don't feel bad about the rain. Rain is good. Rain keeps people alive. You know, water, it keeps the trees and all that stuff. You know, sun is good, but what good is a tan at the end of the day? That's all I'm saying. But then again, I look at myself and I'm, you know, pale as anything. But, oh, fuck it, I don't mind. Just be happy in what you can. Enjoy your life and enjoy music and keep listening to the podcast if you want to. All right, people, I'm going to shut up now. And, yeah, once again, thank you very much to Swords of Dis for the interview. And you all take care. Bye, everyone.